We hope you enjoy this podcast from Light Church Edithburg. To find out more about us, visit lightchurch.co.
I want to grab your seats. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been speaking about a series leading up until Easter. The events that led up until Easter. And Ben spoke about the Last Supper. Then last week he spoke about the Garden of Gethsemane. And the next part that comes on in the story up to Easter is the trial of Jesus, or the trials of Jesus. And I want to center a couple of thoughts on that. In Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they all speak about this. And as it often is in the Bible, different writers look at different aspects of what was happening in the trial of Jesus. And while Jesus' trial was happening, while they're writing about that, they're also writing about Peter, because Peter went through a different sort of a trial. You know, Peter denied Jesus three times. And that's the commentary of that is happening right in the middle of Jesus' trial. So you got sort of two trials happening. One is a trial by a sort of a court, and another is a trial which we all go through, that sort of trial. And I want to just quickly look at Peter's trial and then have a bit of an overview of what Jesus went through. And it happened after Jesus was arrested, was in the evening. He was taken to the house of the high priest, and Peter followed along. And you can read about this in John chapter 18. Peter had to stay outside the gate of the high priest. He wasn't allowed in. But one of the disciples did get in. And he said, "Can you let my friend Peter in?" So Peter got inside the compound. And as they let Peter in, a woman was at the gate. And she said, "Aren't you one of that man's disciples?" He said, "No way." And that was the first time he denied Peter. And you read on a little bit further in that chapter, verse 25. And as he was standing by the fire, warming himself, they asked him, "You're not one of the disciples, are you?" And he said, "No, I'm not." So there's a second denial. And then one of the household slaves of the high priest was a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, like his cousin, let's say. And he said, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And he cursed and he said, "No way." And as soon as he said that, the rooster crowed, okay? And Jesus said, "You'll deny me three times before the rooster's crowed." I don't know how Peter would have felt at that time. So Jesus is being trialed. And in the meantime, Peter's going through this. And it used to confuse me a little bit, because I know a few chapters before in the book of Luke, for instance, chapter 22, Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, "Simon, Simon," that was Peter's other name, "Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith will not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." So all the disciples were tested. But we just know what happened to Peter. He's the star of the show. And Jesus prayed that his faith would not fail. And that used to confuse me. I thought, well, didn't his faith fail? You know, didn't he fail? And I've come to realize this. I've come to realize this, that Peter might have failed, but his faith in Jesus must have been there, because he did turn back and he was restored and he ended up being a leader of the church. And Jesus prayed that it would not fail. And that gives me hope. And I hope it gives you hope that when you fail, your faith isn't in your performance. Aren't you glad about that? Your faith is in Jesus. So even when I fail, even when I mess up, which you would have done this week, if not, you'll do tomorrow, your faith is in Jesus, not in your own performance. And as Jesus was praying for Peter, guess what Jesus is doing now? If you read further on in the Bible, it says he's at the right hand of the Father praying for you. And I don't know what that looks like. But I know, what's he praying? What's he praying for this Peter? Well, I think he might be praying, I pray that his faith will not fail. That might be one of the prayers. So the same way Peter, Jesus was praying for Peter, I think he's praying for us now. That should give us hope. That when I fail, hey, he upholds me. And so if you're going through some trials or some confusion or some fearful times, uncertain times, when you seem to be failing everywhere, remember there's a high priest sitting at the right hand of God praying for you, praying that your faith will not fail. Not faith in yourself, faith in Jesus. And we can turn to God at any time. That's what Jesus said. When you have repented or when you have turned back to me, you will receive strength, and you'll not only strengthen you, but you'll strengthen others as well. All right, so that's Peter's trial. Now, Jesus is being trialed, and I'm going to read a bit of scripture. We haven't got it up on the screen because it's not there. But I'm going to read some verses from the book of Luke. And this is basically the story of the trials of Jesus. Because there's really, I don't know, you could probably count four of them. Maybe five. It says in Luke chapter 22, verse 66, at daybreak, all the elders of the people assembled, including the leading priests and the teachers of the law. Jesus was led before the high council, and they said, tell us, are you the Messiah? So this is happening what time? It's in the middle of the night. And he replied, if I tell you, you won't believe me, and if I ask a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of God will be seated in the place of power at God's right hand. Where is he? He's seated in the place of power where? I want you to remember that. At the right hand of the Father. They all shouted, are you claiming to be the Son of God? And he replied, well, you say I am. Why do we need other witnesses? They said, we ourselves have heard him say it. And the whole council took Jesus to Pilate. So a big group grabbed Jesus, and they took him to the governor, called Pilate. And they began to state their case. This man has been leading our people astray, telling them not to pay their taxes. And by claiming to be the Messiah, he's claiming to be a king. So Pilate asked them, are you the king of the Jews? And he said, well, you said it. Pilate turned to the leading priests, to the crowd, and said, I find no wrong in this man. He's innocent. But they became insistent. But he's causing riots by his teaching wherever he goes, all over Judea, from Galilee to Jerusalem. Pilate said, oh, is he a Galilean? Well, I'm going to send him to Herod, King Herod. So Jesus gets sent to Herod. Herod Antipas. There was lots of different Herods, so that was his name. Because Galilee was under his jurisdiction. There we go. Say that four times. Herod was delighted to see Jesus because he heard so much about him and he was hoping that he'd show him a miracle. He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the teachers of the law stood there shouting their accusations. Imagine the scene. Herod and his soldiers began mocking Jesus. They put a robe on him and send him back to Pilate. There's a little verse straight after that that says, from that day, Herod and Pilate became great friends. Wow. Then Pilate called together the leading priests. So Jesus is back with Pilate now, and other religious leaders along with the people, and he announced his verdict. You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading the revolt. I've examined him thoroughly, and I find him innocent. So Herod thinks he's innocent, and Pilate thinks he's innocent. And Herod came to the same conclusion that said, nothing this man has done, it calls for the death penalty. So I'll have him flogged and release him. Then a mighty roar from the crowd arose, with one voice shouting, kill him, and release Barabbas. And Barabbas was in prison for taking, you know, an insurrection in Jerusalem. He'd murdered somebody. But on the Passover, they had a custom where they would release one prisoner. And they said, we want Barabbas. They kept shouting about Jesus, crucify him, crucify him. For the third time, Pilate demanded, why? What crime? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. I will have him flogged and I will release him. But the mob shouted louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sent Jesus to die as they demanded. As they requested, he released Barabbas, the man in prison for murder. And they turned Jesus over to the crowd to do as they wished. So there's the story of the trials. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this account in the book of Luke, and I pray that you might help us to refocus on this again around this Easter period and show us something about the amazing Son of God, Jesus. Amen. So when you read your story, you got these characters, and there seems to be two high priests. One's called Annas and one's called Caiaphas, and they're these two high priests. Now, Annas was a high priest for many years, and all the Jewish people sort of respected him, but he fell out with the Romans. So they removed him. They put his son-in-law in place, Caiaphas, as a high priest. But all the Jewish people were really more connected with Annas. So they sort of worked together. So there's sort of two high priests, I suppose, in this place. And they're the ones who really conspired against Jesus, along with their team, arrested him under the cloak of darkness, paid the price for Judas, arrested him at night because he was very popular. A few days before he comes in Jerusalem, they're shouting, Hosanna. So they did it at night so they could hide it from the crowd. They wanted him dead because he threatened their religious structure. He threatened their positions. Jesus included people who they thought should be on the outer. Remember, Jesus always hung with the people like the prostitutes and the mafia of the day, trying to include all these people, and they didn't like that. And Jesus exposed their hypocrisy. So it's come to a head. They brought false witnesses against Jesus. You read this in another gospel. And they all contradicted themselves. And they brought him to Pilate. So who's Pilate? Pontius Pilate. He became famous for what? Washing his hands. And people still use that as an analogy. You know, I'm washing my hands of this. That's where it comes from. Now, Pilate was sort of, they call him the procurator. I think that's how you say it. Procurator of Jerusalem. So he wasn't, you know, an emperor. He wasn't part of the Senate. He was sort of this low-lying official which got sent to Israel, which was a tough place. And so he was head over this rebellious nation. And one of the Jewish philosophers writes this about him at the time. Pilate was a man who was inflexible, obstinate, cruel, unjust, would condemn people to death without even a hearing. So this is Pilate, right? He was notorious for his cruelty, and he was ultimately removed from his office by Rome because he was so bad. But even this guy finds Jesus not guilty. So he was a bad egg. And then Herod. Who's Herod? Herod was the king, I suppose. You know when Jesus was born, there was a Herod who tried to kill all the babies? It's not that Herod, it's his son. He had about four sons, and they all over a different part of the region. They already killed John the Baptist, remember Herod? And Herod was pleased to see Jesus only because for novelty value, and he mocked him and sent back to Pilate, and Pilate found no guilt. So that's the summary of the trials of Jesus. And then it goes on towards the crucifixion, and we look at that story as we go towards Easter. But I want to go back and just focus on one thing that got the Jewish people or the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, really mad. Jesus said something that just sent them over the edge. And it really describes it well in the book of Matthew, chapter 26. This is the trial. And at about verse 62, The high priest stood up to Jesus and said, "Why aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say?" Jesus remained silent. The high priest said, "I demand by the name of the living God, you tell me, are you the Son of God?" Okay, so he has to swear by an oath. So Jesus replied this, and this is the phrase that where they went crazy. "Are you the Son of God?" Jesus replied, "You have said it, and in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand." Where is he? "Coming in the clouds of heaven." So when he said this, this is what happened. Then the high priest tore his clothing. I'm not going to do it for effect. Someone said thank you. "To show his horror, and he yells out, 'Blasphemy! Why do we need any other witnesses? He's guilty, he deserves to die.' They began to spit in Jesus' face, beat him with their fists and slap him." Why? Because of that one phrase. What was the phrase again? "In the future you will see the Son of Man seated at the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." When he said that, it just triggered him. Has anyone ever said something to you and it triggered you? Yeah. It's my wife. It's probably many things. So what's it about that statement? Well, some of you might know that statement comes from a picture in Daniel chapter 7. And Daniel's, you know, Daniel in the lion's den. And he's in exile in this place called Babylon. And he has this crazy dream. You think he's had some weird dreams, you know. This guy has a crazy dream, right? And it's terrifying. He calls it terrifying. And it's sort of, who's ever seen an Avengers sort of movie? And they have the big end scenes. Everyone goes crazy and everything's exploding. I don't really like superhero movies, but it's like that. It's special effects going everywhere. And in this dream, he says there's all these mutant-type beasts which symbolise the evil kingdoms of the world that oppress people. And they come one after the other, violent and terrible, and they act like beasts. They're devouring people. And after Daniel describes these beasts, there's a moment when God interveres and says, "Enough is enough," right? And Daniel sees a throne in heaven. He said on that throne was one called the Ancient of Days. That's God, right? He's sitting on this throne, and he's white like snow and hair like wool, and his throne is like fire. You know, get the picture? And there's a river flowing out which is majestic and powerful and shining white and overwhelming. It's like surround sound, 3D Technicolor. It's that thing, okay. And there must have been another throne next to the Ancient of Days. And there was a court scene, and the books were open, and judgment. And I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Daniel chapter 7. "And in my vision, I saw someone like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven." That's the exact words that Jesus said. "And he approached or was lifted up to the Ancient One, the Ancient of Days, and was led into his presence. And he was given authority over all the nations of the world. Every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed." So the Son of Man is presented to the Ancient of Days and given him all this authority. And he deals with all these creatures. So when Jesus says this phrase, it's like me saying something like this. "We need to get a bigger boat. Where does your mind go to?" Or "Hasta la vista, baby." Or "Hunama." What's the Lion King? You know when you say a word and it takes you to a scene? Like, "Say hello to my little friend" for the older ones. Or whatever. You know that a word takes you to a scene. This phrase takes them to this scene. And Jesus is saying, "I am the Son of God, and I'm going to be lifted up on the right hand." And they freak out. Blasphemy, because he's saying, "I am the Son of God. I am God." And they just spat him and beat him. That's what hit them over the edge. And so in this story, we've got the two high priests and another high priest. Jesus is that. So really, there's three high priests. And Jesus has become our high priest. And when you read your Bible, some of you would have read verses like in the book of Philippians, which says, Jesus is exalted to the highest place and giving a name above all names, and at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. That's referring to this and to Daniel 7. He is God. So Jesus is declaring, I am the Son of God. Blasphemy. And they wanted to kill him. So where is Jesus now? At the right hand of God. He's got power over everything. You know, there might be some things happening in the world, but he is the ultimate power over these things. And what's he doing? He's praying. And the book of Hebrews says things like, we can come to the throne of his great grace. And we read things like, he's at the right hand of God interceding for us. One verse in Romans, it talks about this. You might have heard this verse. Who will condemn us? For no one, for Jesus Christ died for us and was raised to life and is sitting at the place of honour at God's right hand. So who can separate us from God's love? Does it mean when he no longer loves us when we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened by death? For the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, we have overwhelming victory through Christ who loves us. Where is he? Seated at the right hand of God. And, you know, it's not like he's far away because he sent the Holy Spirit to us. Let's pray. Now, I don't know what you're going through at the moment. Thanks, Sarah. I wanted to start with Peter and show you that he was Peter's advocate praying for him and show you where Jesus is now. After these trials, after he was murdered, after he rose again, he's seated at the right hand of God. And I like the fact that he's interceding for us or praying for us. I've got no idea what that looks like. But it assures me, although his work is done, it continues. And what God started in us, he will continue. And God will never leave us. Jesus will never leave us. And Lord, each person here is probably facing different things in their world right now. Some things we're doing okay, and other things we believe we might be failing or making a mess of. We thank you that you are, although we pray for one another, you are praying for us. And maybe praying that same prayer you prayed for Peter, I pray that your faith will not fail. And when you return to me, you know, strengthen your brothers. Lord, and I pray for each person that their faith will remain strong, strong in Jesus, firmly focused on him, not on, you know, what we can do or can't do. We thank you, Lord, that you, the reason that you went through all this is because of a great love that wanted to restore people to yourself. We thank you for that. And as we continue on towards Easter, Lord, and the story unfolds even more, Lord, I pray you'll speak to our hearts afresh in Jesus' name. Amen. I just feel to do one thing. Maybe before we go, just bow your heads. And just from your seat where you are, if you say, Darren, I'm going through something, I want you to pray, just wave. And I just want to pray for you especially. Just acknowledge that before God if that's you. Just while everyone's sort of got their eyes closed. Is anyone, just feel like they need something? Yeah, just acknowledging something before God is a powerful thing. It's just saying, oh, Lord, I need that. And I saw hands pop up all over the place. And Lord, I pray for those ones especially, Lord God, that will feel the grace and the power of God, the love of God, the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way. Especially, Lord, if they feel like they're being shaken, Lord. I pray for extra grace for them, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you went through what you went through because you had your eyes on the goal. And the goal is that we will be restored. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, church. We're going to finish the service now. What we might do, if you want to go out, have some coffee, do that. If you want prayer or anything like that, we're going to stay here just for a little while. Happy to pray with you if you want somebody to do that. Have a fantastic week.